So the reason I'm interested to talk to you about paper is that I think of you as a pretty high-tech person, at least in like sort of the way you express yourself online and like the tools that you use. You choose like sort of high difficulty level tools and you explore them, and you know, like you seem to care about that sort of thing. And so like, if I were to guess what sort of productivity tool you would live out of, I would probably guess a digital one. And maybe that's true, but I also think you use paper for some stuff like that. And can you tell me about that balance in your life?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that balance is incredibly relevant this year because I've been really trying to find a harmonious balance between digital and I'll say analog tools. Mm-hmm. So I, just to jump into the spiritual side of it or those practices, I really resonated with the Gemini rising element of my chart and finding that it really relates to me needing to, or feeling most at home if I can move as quickly as my mind does. Mm-hmm. And that is great in some ways because I can be very adaptable and think on my feet and stuff, but not so great because I find that I'm always on the verge of being overloaded or too excited about just like the limitlessness of something like a digital tool, you know? So it's been fantastic to be adaptable and take on, you know, use things like, I use a digital to-do list. I use Todoist, which is really great for collaboration and all that stuff. But I find that a lot of my many hopes and dreams and alternate lifestyles and, you know, just all the plans that I put in that assume that I live for 500 years or more get crowded in there. And it is really easy to be overwhelmed. And looking, well, one thing too to mention is that since I was very little, I had always carried some kind of book, a journal, a sketchbook, or something like that. As an artist by trade, but also just, I guess, by identity, I have always sketched and have always processed in that way. So doing that kind of review over the pandemic, when many of us were doing just any sort of introspection, I found that I was at my healthiest and my most balanced when I was looking at some paper and thinking one at a time. Mm-hmm. Or if I had multiple strings open, just turning a page and drawing something else, or just crowding out this this page. And I think very importantly too, seeing a physical record of just my processing. And that is especially grounding for, you know, like I said, a Gemini rising, someone with a Taurus 12th house, someone who has a lot of trouble with really sinking into my body and realizing that time is a really beautiful thing to savor, you know, and the material is a beautiful thing to savor. Mm-hmm. So really feeling like that, really feeling like I exist, feeling the bumps that I leave on the paper and stuff. So while I do have just this mountain of tasks, you know, on software, you know, while I do keep a, I don't want to say permanent because what is, but like keeping my second brain just primarily, on Evernote, like in the digital thing, like my first place to go and my last place to go is paper, you know, like I will have tasks and all that stuff, but I work on paper with an analog planner for scheduling to keep me very, very aware of the really beautiful and weirdly freeing limitation of the time I actually have available to get stuff done. So that's something that's really meaningful to me there. And I think the more that I move toward analog tools, the more that I find that it may not be that important to me to have everything stored in the cloud or just like unlimited space to keep this and that. I mean, one thing that people tend to have an issue with is like, oh no, I have to carry all this paper around or, oh no, I have to carry all these books around. Or what if there was a fire or anything like that? And I feel a lot of fear about that as someone who's got like decades of sketchbooks that I'd really like to have outlive me. Yeah. But it's also kind of like, well, so what if it decays, you know? And there's a really freeing element of that. Just knowing that what's in front of me is really the only real thing here. And I prefer to have it in my hands.
Yeah, sure. The thing that's been hard for me to do anytime I've used paper, aspired to use paper to keep track of tasks or to use planners is the carrying forward of stuff that, like, if something doesn't happen, like, on one day that was supposed to happen, it needs to be sort of manually moved to the next day. And, you know, I live that, that's the way I live in my digital task management a lot, is like, I put something on my agenda for today and then kick it over to tomorrow. I know, for some systems that people use on paper for keeping track of their daily tasks, that part, that like review and moving it forward, is kind of part of the system, and it's kind of an essential part of the system. Is there anything like that for you in the way that you use paper, or does it sort of just like all come in on a given day and then like the next day you start again? Like, how do you manage going from one day to the next?
In a pretty similar way to what you described. You know, what comes to mind first when you mentioned that is back when I was using bullet journaling, and that was absolutely part of the ritual of drawing a little arrow and physically writing it to the next day. And what I do is pretty similar to that, but it starts in Todoist, where it's got like a really scary red text. You didn't do this, or this was scheduled yesterday, and you can just press a big button that says reschedule and choose it to today. And that's it's a really simple process, but as someone who you know, unfortunately spends a lot of time trying to maximize productivity, that's something I'm trying to cleanse myself of. Like there's a little bit of a weight of shame in the process. Why didn't I do it last time? Just sort of a tangent here, but not quite. I was looking for extremely simple methods, like bullet journal-esque methods for planning productivity, to try to see if it was possible to make it accessible to folks who can't imagine themselves using a planner. And Cal Newport had something like that, carrying over your task that you don't do, but he kind of preempts it sort of by using shame. You would have a piece of paper and you would write down the things that you would need to do. And if you don't finish that thing, you have to write in that journal why you didn't finish it. And there's something about that, that I guess the embarrassment of having to write down that you didn't do this task because you were, you know, too busy scrolling, I guess, like it would wound your pride to do that. So you end up not really carrying your tasks over as much as somebody else would, which, it's fun. I don't think I can handle that, but like, it seems to be really effective for folks to kind of avoid that as much as possible, you know?
How do you deal with the sort of emotional layer of task management? And does paper help in some way with that quality of like the intensity of having these things to do and having to carry it around?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm like, it, the paper, well, first of all, I used to manage that by doubling down and resolving to be this like, you know, productive automaton today or tomorrow even. But the paper part is extremely helpful for me, because in the time blocking kind of scenario that I have set up for this year, I would look at 2 hours of freedom that I have to do work and go, what can I do in 2 hours? And being face to face with that like limitation, which I call it, it's like a dialogue with Saturn to me. Like Saturn's like, well, here you go. This is what you got. Like you want to sleep, right? You want to eat, right? Well, guess what? It's 2 hours. Like, I do have to look at the pool of hopes and dreams and superhuman assumptions in Todoist and pick one thing, literally one thing. And if I'm lucky too, and, there is that kind of thing that has helped me sort of, be a bit healthier about it. Like you can have another task if you finish this one as a treat, which sounds so odd, but
I relate to it completely. Yeah, the idea of one thing is actually really powerful to me too. I had a GTD period, an OmniFocus period, and I really even today miss the situational awareness that I was able to have using that tool, because of the way that it's like custom perspectives worked. So I felt like there was always a way to see just the stuff that was accessible to me in a given situation, whether it was because I was away from my computer and couldn't look at those tasks, or I was like at work having to do a specific and narrowed set of things and like didn't need to think about home chores, you know, at that time. Like that sort of flexibility perspective was super powerful for me. But I still always felt like I was never, like the lists were getting longer instead of shorter, even if I was handling the things with the deadlines. And like at some point, this concept of like just do one thing on the list in the time available became a kind of mantra that like really changed my relationship to how I feel about whether or not I was productive for a short period of time or for an entire day. Is that way of seeing so you said something about tasks being treats.
And that
feels very connected to this idea, because it's like doing one thing and feeling the satisfaction of getting that one thing done and letting that be enough is like such a critical part. Like, can you talk about the feeling of accomplishment that comes from getting one item off the list in the abstract?
Oh, what is there to say? I mean, it feels great.
Yeah.
It feels great to have that list be shortened. And when I write down that task and get to cross it out or put a little stamp or washi tape or whatever little thing, like, it adds to that kind of reward.
Yeah.
I definitely have, and this is something I really get to enjoy with working analog on paper, like getting to see that be crossed out and just have essentially a two done list, you know, to work with has really aided in that satisfaction there. Like one of the other practices that I have that's like a daily thing is practicing Ashtanga yoga. Mm-hmm. And it's been very difficult for me to maintain the consistency there until I had focused on how good it feels to finish it. Mm-hmm. You know, how like the payoff that comes after the toil, or realizing that the reward itself is being able to kind of focus on something one at a time and watch that task, whatever it is, like dishes even, like see how it looked before and see how it looks after, you know? So it's, it feels really good. I'm trying to have it feel good the entire way instead of at the very end, you know?
Yeah. I love that we've sort of opened up productivity as a yoga, or like task, doing a task as a posture,
right,
an intentionally assumed posture. I also want to make sure we bring in art and creativity as a vocation of yours. But I've wondered whether, I mean, I've seen you sketch in both analog and digital. I'm wondering if there's a parallel in the way that you work in your medium, like between these two different forms, or I don't even know what to call like analog versus digital, but like you work in both of those modes as an artist, and you also work in both as a manager of yourself, as a productivity person. I'm wondering if there's a connection to how you decide maybe whether to do something analog or digital, kind of in either realm.
Yeah, absolutely. So professionally, I tend to move more toward digital tools just because it's much quicker and it's just easier to be seated that way. But my earliest kinds of ideation for even professional work is done on paper if I can, just because it helps me focus. It's my home base as far as like the ugly beautiful thinking process of whatever I'm working on is. But as a just personally, since I was a beginner, I had always been very I just look at them on the same plane. They're the same kinds of tools. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of encouraged when I went to design school, because I was going to school in 2009, 2010-ish. So there was still a little bit of, and maybe it was just the way the schooling was. I'm interested in hearing what other artists think about it, but I felt like I was in the cusp between people working primarily digitally and, you know, sketching on vellum and working with markers and stuff, and introducing digital tools, like just working with Photoshop or CAD or whatnot. So I spent a lot of time just naturally moving from sketching on paper to Xeroxing it to painting or doing color ideation in Photoshop and then printing that out and gluing it on a sketchbook and painting in acrylic on top of it or whatnot. And that sort of thing is just very natural to me. Like it's something that I would prefer to be able to bounce back and forth with, you know, but ultimately what makes it most satisfying to me is being able to, well, I'll say that it typically ends analog, just because I love the idea of the feel of a finished product having this like impasto, like just textured sort of paint thing, you know, and speaking more of the satisfaction of something being done, it's like getting to see a sketchbook be completed and be much thicker and the pages being much more crinkly than they were at the beginning just really feels like I made a mark somewhere, like I exist and here's proof of it.
I am really enjoying how much this conversation, which is supposed to focus on nominally focus on one, on just the paper part, is really about how much, how inseparable they are for you, that they're that having both sort of like fulfills each other, they fulfill each other's purpose for you in certain ways. I'm wondering if you've ever felt personally or encountered in other people like dogmas about one or the other being better or more important or something. Like, particularly I'm thinking about like old professors in school who are like, digital is terrible. You know, like, did you ever run into that, and how did that go for you?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing to come to mind is that, so one thing about, cause you mentioned school, I found that to be just opened up a really funny box of memories there. But, when I went to design school, I was previously an illustration major. Mm-hmm. So there was an assumption that we were going to spend our foundational years, working with charcoal and painting, you know, drawing and painting from live figures, and just actually learning like traditional painting with analog tools. And I transferred to an industrial design major for like with an emphasis on entertainment design. And I found myself in a completely different kind of group, mm-hmm. where it's just laptops and Wacom tablets and maybe a sketchbook. But the assumption was that like it was going to, the final product was going to be in Photoshop. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say that there was like a conflict really, but I definitely felt like a tension there of just thinking of how cool these folks were to have such a pristine apartment with like, you know, nice books and, you know, a cool tablet and a cool whatever. And just dealing with the smaller footprint of that. And then looking at what I've got, which is just a mess. And, you know, unfortunately, like heavy metal paints on my hands still. And like, you know, just all of that stuff. So I did see that there were people who, I mean, I wish I asked at the time, but people who seemed to maybe not be against analog stuff so much as just like really like their native habitat is Photoshop, is ZBrush, Moto, whatever, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask this at the beginning of our conversation, but I usually, when I'm talking to someone about it, like anything remotely artistic, I ask them about their childhood. And this now, and now it feels like the time to ask you, like, were you covered in paint? I mean, I can guess what the answer was, but were you covered in paint like as a kid too?
I definitely made a mess.
Yeah.
Like a lot. If it was actually, my earliest memories involved music more than art. Like I was very loud and boisterous and made a lot of noise and stuff. And initially expressed myself with like piano and later viola and was in marching band and all that stuff. But there was just a point in my adolescence where I got a lot more shy and thought like, well, if I suck at drawing, people won't hear it, you know? But there was always a common denominator. Like there was always a thread from the very beginning of like, frankly, I would always reach for it as my main form of emotional regulation or grounding. Like I felt real if a half an hour from now there was something in front of me. And I think that was the other, you know, less, you know, teenage angst motivation toward like getting on paper with paint and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
At what point did productivity enter the picture as part of your creative process?
Yeah, that's a really good question because when I was younger, I was given old day runner planners and stuff and really, really liked just filling in those the graph paper and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed that and journaling and scrapbooking and stuff. But I think it made a turn toward being, you know, this like ultra productivity machine when I was trying to get to college and just like got into the grind set and just needed to be, you know, the very best that ever was. And I think that was when that really started happening, as well as when Tumblr became a thing in my world anyway, like in the 2010s, early 2010s, there were folks who were really, really found a way to romanticize, like being, you know, a study nerd, like dark academic or whatever it was. So there was a lot of that.
Do you still identify as part of the grind set, or does it mean something different to you now to be productive?
I would say I'm recovering. I would say I am definitely recovering. It was influenced definitely by working toward analog photography too, which is a whole other conversation. But I've been aspiring to be an imperfectionist, you know, and slowing down a lot more and not really caring what happens.